Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And once again, just for the privilege and the opportunity to be in church on this Sunday night. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. Sunday nights, I've been going through and teaching on the teachings of Christ from the very beginning of his public ministry, even before, as we studied as a child at 12 years old. He gave us a message there, and what a blessing that was. But we've just been looking at his life and what God has recorded as far as the teachings of Christ. We're getting ready to get into a very important, I mean, all of it's important, but a powerful time in the life of Christ is when he preaches the Sermon on the Mount. For Christianity today, I don't think there's any more important passage of Scripture than the teachings of Christ on the Sermon on the Mount. And so looking to get into this at this time. Now, the last message we preached was on the after the temptations of Christ and how important that was, because that revealed a lot to us concerning our enemy and the temptations and how to be able to overcome those temptations and get victory. And of course, he taught us that. And so now we look here in chapter 5. Since the temptations of Christ, we find that Jesus has now called all of the disciples, all of them he has reached and called to follow him. And as we get into chapter 5, we find here that he has called all the disciples, and now he goes into a mountain, and the disciples go to him, and he sits down and teaches them. And so we're going to be looking at that tonight. So go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read Matthew chapter 5. We're not going to cover all this, but I do want to read at verse 1 down to verse 12. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity that you made available and for all that have taken advantage of it that are here tonight. Thank you for what we've already received and just being in this place. And now we just bow before you and pray, God, that you would reveal truths to each and every one of us that we have need of and that which would strengthen us in our walk with you. Pray that you'd empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So he has all his disciples. He leaves the followers. There was a multitude of followers. Most of them were following him because they wanted him to either feed them or they wanted him to heal some type of a physical infirmity that he had. And that's what he was doing. And he was doing that in order to get them to a place of understanding who he was and the message that God had for them through him. And so, but he leaves the multitude of followers. He goes up into a mountain. And the Bible says, and as he was set, he knew what he was going to do. His disciples came unto him, which would be the apostles that he was preparing to carry on what he would establish as the New Testament church, which is New Testament Christianity, which all of us are very much aware of. I mean, it's been going on for some 2,000 years, and praise the Lord for it. This is the beginning of it. He fulfilled the Old Testament law and everything about the Old Testament. He fulfilled that. The Old Testament came to an end with the coming of Christ. And there's a new covenant. There's a New Testament. There's the teachings that he brought, fulfilling the Old Testament, not doing away with it, but fulfilling it. That means it's still viable. We can still look into it, and we can learn so much from it, and praise the Lord for that. But we focus on, as we live the New Testament Christianity, as we live our lives as Christians, this is what it's all about. And so he opened his mouth and he taught them. This is the mindset of Christ. It's everything that's in his mind. Now that he has been manifested in the flesh, they're looking to him, they're identifying with him, he's identifying with them. And he teaches them what's in his mind. He has much to teach. This is a creator God in whom there was no beginning and there will be no end. So he has much to teach, and praise the Lord for that. They understood that he was the Messiah, and so I don't think any of them went to sleep during this message. None of them were thinking about somebody else or writing a note to the person sitting next to me or behind me. I think they were all focused, knowing who he was and is. And it's been recorded for us. The mind of Christ as being the only begotten Son of God who had no beginning and no end, he sits down and he teaches them. And it's been written down and recorded for us. It's a mindset of Christ. And if you will, it's what God expects for all believers. For it's New Testament Christianity. Sometimes we lose sight of that. The Sermon on the Mount is what it's referred to. Now, again, you can see why, because he goes up to a mount, they come to him, he teaches them, he preaches them, he's presenting to them a sermon. But on this, it begins with the Beatitudes, is what we call them. They would be blessed attitudes. Blessed attitudes. 9 times the word blessed is used. Now, this is words of the Messiah. This is Jesus presenting to them what they need to do, and if you will, the attitude they needed to have in order to have blessings. 7 times they're connected to attitudes. 2 times the word blessed is connected to persecution of such attitudes. The main truth from God in this teachings on the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning, is blessed are. Who does not want to be blessed? Stop and think about it. Who doesn't want to be blessed? Especially by someone that had the capacity to bless, like a creator God, who designed humanity, who knows us better than we know ourselves. who established not only individuality, but he established marriage, and he established families, and he established New Testament church. It's Christ who is telling them what it takes to be blessed. See, Jesus would teach them so that they could be blessed, and by learning what it takes for me to have God's blessings on my life, I now have the capacity to teach others. Once you get saved, you understand one of the greatest blessings that God has for humanity, and that is salvation. And now you realize, once you have been blessed by being saved, no matter what happens to me on planet Earth, I've got heaven to look forward to. It shall be well. Amen. Heaven holds a healing for everybody. Praise the Lord. I have that confidence. I have that knowledge. I know that I am blessed by salvation. And now that I know that myself, I don't want to keep it to myself. I first of all want my loved ones to have this blessing. I want my children to have this blessing. I want my coworkers to have this blessing. I ought to want my schoolmates to have this blessing. I ought to want my neighbors to have this blessing. You see, because God blessed you so that you might have the capacity to pass that on so others can be blessed. And that's just one of the blessings. Acts in chapter 3, look there with me. This is the words of God telling us what we need to do to be blessed. And much of it has to do with attitudes. In Acts in chapter 3, we find here in verse 25, as Peter's presenting message here, and he says, "Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." He understood this because this is what Christ taught him. And now as he is part of carrying on and seeing this work go forward during the apostolic age, he's revealing this. And then he says, "Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities." The Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount are part of helping us to turn away from our sin and our wrong thinking to having right thinking and a life that is blessed by God. He's telling them that. He says, this is what Jesus has presented to us. It's what he presented to me. And now, as much as I have opportunity, I'm going to preach his message to you. And can I tell you, I'm standing here tonight, 2,000 years later, preaching the very same message that Jesus preached to his apostles on the Sermon on the Mount, and that every one of them preached to anyone and everyone they could get to listen to them, and every other preacher and every other believer from that point forward has tried to do as well. Yeah. Jesus would teach them so that they could be blessed and teach others. Not only would Jesus teach that, but he would also model his teachings, which was very important. Because when you teach somebody something, they're going to keep an eye on you to make sure that it is genuine. A testimony is very important. And that's why Paul would write to the Philippians chapter 2, and he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want you to have the mind of Christ. That's thinking the way he thought and that he presented to us. So blessed are. Blessed are. It's a fact. But is it because of number one, it's what pleases God? Blessed are. And then he goes into telling you what it is, but is it because this mentality, this kind of thinking, leads to this kind of lifestyle, which pleases God, and because it's of pleasing to God, it is bringing his blessings upon our lives? Or is it because of number two, it's how these attitudes will affect us and those around us? How many would say attitudes do affect us and those who stay around us? Attitudes are also could be looked at as dispositions. I don't know about you, but there's sometimes that I don't like to be around myself because my attitude stinks. And I have a disposition that if I don't want to be around myself, I don't think that I'm good for anybody to be around. I need to just go and isolate myself until I can have a better attitude and a disposition to be a blessing to those around me. Anybody ever think that way? If you'd be honest, I think all of us from time to time think that way. Wouldn't it be nice if we could control other people's attitudes? How many of you really love to be around negative-minded people who do nothing but pull everybody down who's around them because they're always, something's happening, they're always sorry, and they're always doing that, they're always thinking this way, there's no positivity at all? I don't know about you, that's not the kind of people that most people want to be around. But the Bible says, blessed are. Can I tell you, I believe it's both. I believe God gives us these attitudes and reveals to us the fact of blessed are those, because these are the attitudes that please God. And if you will adopt this kind of thinking into your life, you will be a blessing to be around, even when there's no one else around. Sometimes there's nobody else around. I'm the only one that can encourage me. And most of the time, in order for me to encourage me, I've got to change my thinking. I got to adjust my own attitude. Amen. So, seven attitudes that pleases God for New Testament Christianity and that will help you and me to want to be around us. The very first one. Now, this is what there are seven of them. And this is the first thing that once he has all the disciples, now that they've been called and they're following after him, and he leaves the masses of people, the followers, and he meets with his apostles to teach them the most important things in their lives and in Christianity. That's how important the Beatitudes are. This is something that we had, ought to have a desire to learn. Because it's blessed are. Blessed are, verse 3, the first one, the poor in spirit. Now you might just read right over that and go to the next one and next one. This has nothing to do with worldly poverty. It has been falsely interpreted. And for some that have taught this, if you'll deny anything this world has to offer, then you can be more spiritual. It's wrong. That's not what it teaches. That's not what he is telling them. It has nothing to do with worldly poverty. Physical poverty is not an indication of spirituality. Have we learned that? Do we believe that? No, a lot of people living in poverty, they're there because of their attitudes, their dispositions, their lack of wanting to work. The two words, the two main words that we need to break down here, and the idea of poor does, the definition, that does mean poverty or needy. But it didn't stop with just being poor. The very first one that Jesus presents to the disciples, and I believe, I don't know if they're numbered in the importance, I don't know if they're all equally important, I know they're all important. But the very first one that maybe that we need to work on the most is poor in spirit. Spirit is the inner part of man. It's really who we are. It's a part of us that will, when our physical body dies, goes to be with the Lord. It's who we will know in heaven. We'll know each other's spirits. That's more closely connected with the soul. There's a three parts to humanity: spirit, soul. I mostly in this life, but for God, he looks upon the heart and he looks into that body and he sees an eternal spirit and soul. So he's not talking about the physical, being poor physically. He's talking about us identifying ourselves as being poor in spirit. Mine own spirituality. It's an attitude of knowing I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Because that's what brings you to salvation. Most important attitude for us to have. And if you're going to get saved, you have to have this attitude. So maybe it is the most important. It's humility before God. It's seeing myself in God's presence. Isaiah chapter 6. Everybody following me tonight, right? Good stuff, it really is. Isaiah chapter 6. You could put here verse 1 through 5, and you can put poor in spirit because it's a perfect example of being poor in spirit, even in the Old Testament. Isaiah had the attitude of poor in spirit. In the year of King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, which with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, attitude, mindset, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Perfect example, Old Testament, of being poor in spirit. You acknowledge who God is and you realize, I don't deserve his love. I don't deserve Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary for me. And yet he did. But I see myself as undeserving, but thankful. Undeserving, but blessed. Poor in spirit. It's absent of pride. There's something about pride that God hates. It tells us that throughout the scriptures, so many scriptures concerning that. And yet, the human nature is apt to be very prideful. And until we get a handle on that, our attitude's going to stink. Our attitude that I'm better than you. Our attitude is I'm somebody. My attitude is I'm deserving of anything and everything that anyone wants to bless me with. I'm deserving of God sending his son to die for me. That's pride. That is being puffed up. You're not seeing yourself as you ought to see yourself as it is compared to God. It's poor in spirit. It's humility before God. In the New Testament, I believe that this very same testimony of Isaiah can be seen in Luke in chapter 18. Let me just read it to you. You don't have to turn there, but Luke in chapter 18, Jesus presents this, and he says, "He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." The very opposite of being poor in spirit. "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." He reveals their thinking. "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.'" That's opposite poor in the spirit. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Poor in spirit. "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted," or if you will, blessed. Because blessed are the poor in spirit. If you're one that's always asking, "Why me?" Why me? Whether it's you were told you had cancer, whether you lost your job, and your mentality and your attitude is, "Why me?" You're not poor in spirit. That's a sense of pride. But if you can turn that around and you can say, why not me? Why should I not have to go through trials? And why should I not have to suffer from time to time? Why should I not ever go through persecution? Why not me? That's an attitude that God will bless. That's an attitude that you will find to be a blessing to yourself and those around you. Because it'd be the opposite that of being selfish and opposite that of being prideful and thinking yourself better than somebody else. Thinking yourself, I'm glad it happened to them and not to me. Wow. Poor in spirit. Go back with me our text, and I got to move on here. But in every one of the attitudes that he says is blessed, we find that he reveals their reward. The reward connected to that attitude. And here he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want that. I don't want to have to wait till I get to heaven to get it. And I don't have to. Because what's associated with that attitude, theirs is. Did you look at that? Not theirs will be. The reward for being poor in spirit and having that attitude in this life, theirs is. That is now, today, present tense, the kingdom of heaven. It includes the spiritual blessings of heaven on earth. Jesus brought heaven to earth. And everything that is associated with Christianity is heaven on earth. Christianity was not designed by man. It was not established by humanity. It came by way of Jesus Christ. He brought New Testament Christianity to humanity. And as we adopt New Testament Christianity, we adopt the mentality that he wants us to have, the right kind of thinking, the right kind of attitude. He says, and when you receive this and it becomes who you are, then these are the blessings that are associated with this attitude. It's what is needed again to be saved. Right before this, in chapter 4, when he was bringing the disciples and calling the apostles together, his first message to all people were, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is brought to you today. The blessings that God has for you, bringing the blessings of heaven to earth, that you can experience even while you're living on earth, is here. All you need to do in order to start enjoying it is repent. A repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. A repentance is saying, I'm wrong, you're right. It's humbling ourselves before God and saying, forgive me of my sin. Repent. The The mindset keeps me focused on my need for God and spiritual things. The mindset of poor in spirit, I'm lacking, I'm needy. Without God's help, I don't have it. I need it. Some lose sight of what God has made available to us in this life. And because you lose sight of it, your focus is off. And when you get your focus off, then you're going to miss out on blessed. We think it's more important to work on our life here, our success here, our jobs here, our finances here, when really the most important thing is a walk with God here. The poor in spirit, humility before God allows you to walk in His presence. If you ever think that you're equal with God, that's your human nature, because that's a nature after the devil himself. But when I see myself as undeserving, but so thankful that God allows me to walk with Him, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Here, now. And He allows me to determine how much time I spend with Him. He allows me the intimacy of our relationship. He's already done His part. You're as close to God tonight as you desire to be. Wow. Blessed. Because I can walk with Him. Blessed because I can have spiritual discernment, as we preached a little on this morning, and I can have wisdom, heavenly wisdom. It's available to me. And when I have heavenly discernment and heavenly wisdom, it'll help me make the decisions that will bring even greater blessings into my life. When I lose sight of this mindset, I lose sight of and missing out on being blessed. Because this mindset allows me to see what Christ has brought to me. I'll walk with God. An indwelling Holy Spirit and a church family. I don't know, as we heard a testimony tonight, we truly know how blessed we are to have a church family until we go through some of the trials of life and we see what God has given to us. And there's cards coming in the mail, there's phone calls being made, and there's messages being preached, and there's so much going on, and it's a refuge, and it's what's helping me to get through the struggles of this life. Because it's blessed. But I've got to see myself as in need of it. I got to see myself as being poor in spirit to be able to access the blessings. Isn't that good? It's so good. Blessed are. It's what God says. Don't take my word for it. It's what the Bible says. Amen. And the very first thing is something that we all need to work on, an attitude of being poor in spirit. If I could have every head bowed, every eyes closed this evening. Wow. Blessed are. For theirs is the blessings of heaven on earth. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, right here, right now, available to us. Father, we bow before you and thank you, Lord, for the teachings that not only that you gave to your disciples some 2,000 years ago, but that you have had written down and preserved so that we can learn the very same truths. And as we learn them, apply them to our lives. I trust, God, that we would all receive this tonight and understand humility before God. Help us to do just that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.